in 2 Chronicles 7, 12 through 14. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. We're going forward with our study of effective prayer that blesses and honors the Lord God Almighty. We have been giving expression to some of the very foundational truths that need to be at the forefront of our consideration of what will bring honor and glory to God in the manner of our prayers. In line with this, one of the key truths of effective prayer is held in Colossians 3, 1 through 3, where the apostle highlights the focal point of all operational entreaties and communication unto and with our Lord God. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Our prayer lives need to manifest the full core emphasis that our hearts are set on the plans and the purposes of God in Jesus Christ. As we pray, we need to do so with the Lordship of Jesus Christ at the forefront of our heart-to-heart communication with God. This is not to say that we ignore the things that are taking place around us. Jesus never did. But what he did while he was on earth was to see it all in relationship with how God the Father would receive the further glory through each event. His prayers were focused on that reality. He did not pray with a heart that was being swayed by the earthly elements and situations and circumstances and dilemmas. He always placed all the earthly aspects back into the focus of how God would receive the glory through his ruling and overruling in each crisis. Jesus' constant focus and our continual focus should be the bringing of every earthly detail into line with the glory of God. Rather than allowing the earthly and natural forces to derail our prayers and to distract our focus from Christ, they all need to be reduced to the core aspect of coming into line with what will bring honor and praise and worship and glory to God. We need to learn to pray with a view toward not letting our circumstances rule us. We need to be taught to see how the Lord's sovereignty will be further enhanced and evidenced in His dealing with every earthly strife and stress and dilemma. In John 6:35, we have the very sustenance of life proclaimed by the Lord Jesus Himself. John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He has promised that He will deal with the every detail of the needs of our life if we will come to Him and seek Him and honor Him and obey Him. This is reinforced to us again by the Lord Jesus himself in Revelation 2:17. Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. Jesus is the hidden manna. Just as the Lord sustained the children of Israel throughout their wanderings in the wilderness with the provision of the heavenly bread to meet their physical needs for health and nourishment and sustenance, so will Jesus meet our every need on this earth. We are to trust Him and to rely on Him and to commune with Him and to let the cares and the frustrations and the anxieties that plague this age be set aside as He fills our lives and our hearts with Himself. Our prayers need to reflect this sustaining truth in the every detail. It should be evidenced in our day-to-day walk with Him, Jehovah Jireh, our provider and our sustainer. Now then, let us begin to build on the foundation that we have so laid. For the remainder of these lessons, we will be using material that's adapted from the Battle Plan for Prayer Bible Study curriculum that was developed by Stephen and Alex Kendrick. And many of you have seen their movie, The War Room, dealing with prayer within a family that's falling apart. This will be an encapsulation of much of their scriptural studies dealing with prayer as our means of adding the finishing touches on our deliberations of effective prayer within the body of Christ. As members of the Church of God on this earth, in the full measure of seeing how His glory is to be further evidenced in the daily activities of His chosen people, we need to be devoted to prayer. True, effectual prayer is not a matter that is to be taken lightly or just done when the issues begin to overwhelm us. There needs to be a focal, effectual change in the manner in which we look at and practice prayer, both individually and corporately. The current day is too perilous, and too much laxness has infiltrated the hearts and minds and behaviors of the members of the church. There is no true sense of the vital nature and essence that is developed in prayer in the lives of those called saints of God. There needs to be instilled within each one of us a devotion and a dedication to prayer. We have, as a current generation of Christians, lost sight of the need of constant communication with God in prayer. Whether it's because of the current societal stress and strains on our mental faculties, or the hurried and harassed emphasis on too many things to do and not enough time to do it, we have relegated prayer to being the last course of our dealing with issues. Our age has placed so much prominence on the self-worth of humanity and the self-reliance of mankind, to the point that we are often more inclined to forget about our prayer life unto the Lord, and we just try to make it on our own. We do so with no prerequisite thought that we should be taking everything to the Lord in prayer as the primary focus of all our decisions and our actions. We are basically cutting the Lord out of the picture of our daily walk and only coming to Him in prayer when everything else we have tried has failed. Prayer, communication with God, communion with God, talking with Him, and fellowshipping with Him should be the very beginning of each day, the course of each step of the day, and the final focus of every day. There needs to be a return to the fountainhead of our source of living water in a constant measure. That means that we are relishing Him as the one who will answer the every question, the every concern, every problem, and every course of our understanding. Prayer, communication, fellowship with Him should be the very first and the primary manner of dealing with the day, rather than the last resort. It is in prayer that we seek the direction of the Lord for the way in which we are to live our lives. We seek the wisdom of the Lord to be our wisdom, our understanding, our ability to deal with the matters of each day unto the glory of God. We will also find that prayer is our protection from all those distractions that this age flings at us in its ceaseless efforts to draw away our attention and our hearts from being utterly focused on our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in prayer that we find a deeper intimacy with and passion for the Lord. Accordingly, our living relationship with God is maintained and developed as we spend dedicated time with Him in prayer, personally and in our corporate appointments of prayer. As we offer Him the sacrifice of our time, and He is the priority of our lives, it is with an attitude and an inclination toward constant communication with Him. He will make Himself ever more open to our hearts and to our minds and to our whole beings as we spend time with Him. There will be an increased closeness and fellowship and reliance upon the Lord God Almighty, the more often that we come to Him in prayer. In all honesty, within your heart and within my heart, how often and how urgently have we asked the Lord to teach us to pray in the manner that would show that He is our everything, and that we no longer want any charge of our own lives, that we fully desire for Him to direct, to guide, to maintain, and to show us the way to walk by His Holy Spirit in constant communication with Him. We need to come to the place in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, and in our fellowship, where we pray with all sincerity and desire for Him to teach us how to more perfectly pray. As a most practical encouragement in the development of our dedication and our devotion to learn to pray as His church on earth, a keystone truth is that we need to be in the presence of people who pray. We need to join ourselves with those who pray together for the kingdom of God to be established in our lives, in our homes, in our community, and in our country. We should be praying in our private times, but we should also be praying with our spouses. We should be praying with our families, and we should be praying with the other members of the church. Many of you might be aware of the fact that as a fellowship, we have two opportunities each week in which we gather together in corporate intercessory prayer. We meet on Wednesday evenings at Teresa's home at 7:30. We also meet Sunday mornings here at 9:15 before worship. There is a need for the growth of the prayer warriors who will take the stand for the way and the will of the Lord on earth as it is in heaven. These are vital times that are in desperate need for the members of the church to join together in the responsibility of calling unto the Lord, beseeching His hand upon us in the full measure of being His church on earth. The Apostle Paul placed this burden on Timothy as the overseer of the churches in Asia, as recorded in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 8. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8. He was to teach all the churches of the need for their earnestness in prayer. It was not a matter of when the mood was right, or when the time, or when the times were desperate, or if the time permitted. He was urging them to prayer. He was pushing them to give themselves over to this service. He was insisting and pressing upon them that prayer was necessary for all men. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Because there is a need for us to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, prayer is required of us for all those in authority over us. This includes presidents and senators and members of the House and judges and governors and members of the state assemblies and city council and homeowners associations. It includes bosses and principals and teachers, and it especially includes pastors. I hope to express very clearly and concisely that I need your prayers to continue in the Word of God. Greg needs our prayers as he teaches the youth. Sandy needs our prayers as she prepares the messages for the ladies on Wednesdays. Kip needs our prayers as he deals with Isaiah for the men's meetings. Beverly and Sandy need our prayer covering as they prepare the messages that are sent out through email and text across this nation. Prayer is vital for all those who have been given a place of teaching and counseling and encouraging within the body of Christ. If the ministers and the teachers are not covered in prayer, there is no true feeding of the flock. It is the responsibility of the members of the church to hold those in such positions constantly before the throne of God's grace for His wisdom and His understanding and His spiritual food to be apportioned in accordance to His requirements and the meeting of the needs of His chosen people. Quite simply, where there is no prayer in the flock of the church, there is no growth in Christ. That is why the Apostle Paul was so insistent that the church be filled with men and women who know how to pray and who stand in earnest and effective prayer. We need prayer warriors who constantly hold up the teachers and ministers and leaders with hearts that look to God to meet the every need of the flock every day of every year. Next time, Lord willing, we will consider the purposes of prayer and why our devotion to pray and our dedication to prayer is the very course of our spiritual relationship with God. So be it. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen.